A flash of light against a black backdrop expands to form a red oval shape with vertical edges. Inside, white block letters read magnet. The following is based on actual events. Daytime. A dense shaded woodland is thick with undergrowth. The leaves on the trees are dark green. A bloody handprint is stamped on an exposed section of tree trunk where the bark has been damaged. A black backpack lies on the forest floor. Close by, a red and white woolen scarf is strewn across a bush. A sneakered foot comes into view. The ankles are bound by a frayed rope. The camera pans around to reveal a motionless hooded body, bound at the wrists, lying on the ground. Suddenly, the body is pulled rapidly out of shot. White text against a wooded backdrop reads, "A Not a Number Production, in association with Lynchpin Productions presents A Simeon Halligan Film." Animated branches of trees merge to form the shape of faces in the woods. Starring, Pollyanna McIntosh, Lee Williams, Joanne Mitchell. A light blue Audi TT rounds a bend on an empty country road. The road is lined with a stone wall on one side and a grass verge on the other. The sky is gray and cloudy. A brown rectangular sign on the roadside reads, "Scotland welcomes you." A blue circular logo with a white thistle in the center sits above the text.
Babe.
We done?
No, sorry, would you give her a call? We're gonna be late.
A slim 30-something-year-old woman with black hair drives the Audi. A short-haired man sits in the passenger seat.
There's no signal.
No signal at all.
Welcome to Scotland.
You're not excited about this?
No, this is great.
I mean, if this place can be ours at this price, it'd be amazing.
The woman smiles widely. The man looks out the window at the landscape.
It's a lovely view.
It's gorgeous.
Why, it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, I can't believe it. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
The car turns onto a side road. A sign reads, "Castle Farm 5 miles. Executive producer, Jeff Barber. Written by, Ian Fenton. Produced by, Rachel Richardson-Jones. The car crosses a narrow stone bridge with a single arch and a river running underneath. The car drives down a narrow lane and approaches a large farmhouse surrounded by outbuildings. The blood lands. In the farmyard, a petite red-haired woman in a tweed jacket steps out of a silver Jeep. She holds a clipboard. She approaches the black-haired woman and short-haired man as they get out of the Audi.
Mrs. Chapman.
Yes, hello.
Hello, hello. I'm Flo Douglas from Armstrong and Graham.
So lovely to meet you. I'm Sarah. This is my husband, Ed.
Hello.
Hello. Well, welcome to Castle Farm.
Thank you. I'm so sorry we're a bit late. We took a wrong turn somewhere.
Oh, if you're not familiar with the lay of the land, it's easy to run into trouble around here, and your mobile phones will be of no use to you. They're still a thing of the future.
Oh, you won't be able to survive out here, will you?
Oh, I can do that with my phone.
I don't think so. It's glued to a ham.
Shall we look at the property?
Yes, please.
Flo leads Sarah and Ed to the front of the farmhouse. A stone wall borders the house and garden.
So, the main house and the outbuildings date back to the 19th century, but parish records show that there's been a settlement of one kind or another on this spot since the 1300s, so it comes with a lot of history.
And was there really a castle here?
It was Peel House, not really a castle, more a fortification. It was the site of a ferocious battle between the Scots and the English at one point.
Who won?
That depends on who you talk to.
Flo walks towards the house. Sarah and Ed follow. They pass through a small wooden gate, then enter the front garden. Flo opens the front door and steps inside, followed by Sarah and Ed.
There's two reception rooms off the hallway here, a kitchen to the right, plus a cold store. Upstairs is three double bedrooms, one ensuite, one single and a bathroom. And there's 1.5 acres, I believe.
Ed, look at this.
Flo walks into the reception room and Sarah and Ed follow.
Could have some cosy dinner parties in here.
Oh, do you know many people in the area?
Not a soul.
Ed uses his cell phone to take photos.
Not to worry, he'll soon meet folk. Scotland's a very friendly country.
Sarah looks at a framed photograph of a large family on the wall. Sarah's image is reflected in the glass. Ed photographs three yellow pig-shaped ornaments on the wall in the opposite reception room.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Has there been a structural survey done on this place recently?
Not that I know of, but I'm sure everything's tickety-boo. These old houses were built to last.
God, look at these views.
Sarah looks out the window. Ed joins Sarah to survey the green rolling hills covered in patches of woodland. Next, Sarah and Flo follow Ed into the kitchen.
So what happened with the previous owner?
Oh, Mr. Nixon, he ran into bother some years ago now. He borrowed money from the bank to keep the farm going. Couldn't he pay it back? Now it's owned by some finance company itself. So all that's left is the house, the outbuildings and the field out back.
Did they have to evict him?
Oh, no. He was here till the end. Put up quite a fight too. Been in his family for three generations.
And he didn't have any other family to pass it on to?
Oh, yes. He had a number of sons. Some are still in the valley. One's off fighting in the war, but when old Wally died, the house became the property of the bank.
Ed tries on an old pair of glasses from the windowsill.
Did he die in the house?
He did, yes.
That's a shame.
Yes, it was very emotional, actually.
Flo looks at Ed disapprovingly as he removes the glasses. She turns and leaves the kitchen. Sarah and Ed follow her upstairs.
Has there been much interest?
Well, there's a shortage of property in the area, so there's always a lot of interest from the locals.
And have there been any offers?
Oh, yes, there's been offers, but nothing realistic, shall we say.
Well, I guess a lot of people are put off by the state of the place. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of work that needs doing before it's livable.
Oh, it's in a state of disarray, that's true, but for the local people, it's more the price that's the problem.
For what there is amazing. I mean, it's quite reasonable.
By city standards, perhaps, but for the local market, it's too much.
Sarah looks at Ed. He grins at Flo. Flo grins back. Later, Ed leans on the stone wall at the front of the house. Sarah approaches.
It's exactly the kind of project you've been talking about for years.
Yeah, in Suffolk or Cornwall.
Can't afford a place in Suffolk or Cornwall.
This place is so cheap.
That's because it's a wreck. Nothing in this place works.
Oh. You can make it work.
Okay, and what will you be doing while I'm making it work?
I'll be helping. But you think I'm really useless at this stuff?
That's because you are useless at this stuff.
Okay, I am useless at this stuff, but if you teach me with a little patience, I could learn. Look at those outbuildings. Imagine what we could do with them. They'd make perfect holiday lamps.
Sarah, it's going to take at least 18 months before this place is fit to live in.
Yeah? 18 months of you being your own boss, taking things at your own pace and doing them exactly how you want to do them.
Yeah, in Scotland, where the weather is shit, the food is shit, the football is shit.
So?
And judging by this place, the houses are shit.
Sarah glances at Ed. They both smile and continue to look at the house.
Okay, so do you want to just go back to work on Monday? Bow your head to Fletcher and keep doing what you've been doing for the rest of your life.
Ed turns to face Sarah.
It's not what you want, is it?
You know it's not.
Ed turns away.
So? Sell up and move here. Come on, baby. Let's have an adventure.
I hate you.
I know.
Sarah and Ed kiss. Next, an exterior view of the farmhouse and outbuildings. The sky is gray and cloudy. Text reads, 3 months later. Ed carries a cardboard box from the trunk of the car into the house. It is dark inside. Sarah is in the kitchen. She rustles in a drawer and takes out a cloth. She holds it under the tap then wipes the worktop. Sarah wears a yellow cardigan and a floral dress. She wears a red and white headscarf, tied on top of her head. In the reception room, Ed removes the yellow pig ornaments from the wall and hangs a framed painting of a football match in their place.
Ta-da!
In the bedroom, Sarah lays a crisp white sheet on the bed and tucks the edges under the mattress. Ed enters the house holding a hammer and some nails. He flicks the light switch. The light comes on. Ed leaves the tools on a shelf and takes down some glass jars. In one of the bedrooms, Sarah sits on the bed. An open manual is on her lap. She wires a plug using a small screwdriver.
Ed, I've wired a plug.
And the crowd goes wild.
Sarah switches on a bedside lamp. The fuse blows. The house is plunged into darkness.
Is that you? Sarah!
Ed uses a torch to illuminate the fuse box. He opens the cover and looks inside.
Is there anything I can do to help?
You stay away from the DIY manual.
Sorry.
Sarah walks away. As she crosses the hallway, she looks out through the open front door. A bicycle leans against the stone wall. Sarah enters the kitchen and takes two biscuits from a packet on the table. Sarah walks towards the front door. She looks up with a start. A young boy in a navy football jersey stands in the doorway.
You all right?
Oh, gosh, you gave me a fright. We have a visitor.
Hello, mate.
Do you want a biscuit?
The young boy runs away. Sarah and Ed walk to the door and look out. The young boy cycles quickly down the road.
He's in a bit of a hurry to get somewhere.
Yeah. He's probably going out to shag his sister.
Ed?
What? You know what these country folk are like. If it isn't his mother, it'll be his sister.
Ed lifts a box from inside the door and walks inside. Sarah follows.
Do you want me to make some supper?
Yeah, some idiot's blown the fuse box, so the cooker isn't working. We're not going to have any power till tomorrow.
What are we going to do tonight, then?
Well, I am going to sit out back, I'm going to drink some beer, and I'm going to have sex under the stars. And then you can join in if you like.
Oh. Can we not use a range?
You'll burn your ass, babe.
Maybe we just stick with the cooking then.
Yeah, maybe. If we can light it without burning the house down.
Evening. Sarah and Ed leave the house and pass through the garden. They walk towards the woods.
It's weird having no one else around.
They stop in a clearing. Sarah uses her headscarf to blindfold Ed.
What are you doing?
You trust me?
No.
Do you trust me?
I suppose so.
Sarah moves in front of Ed and kisses him on the lips. She moves behind him again. He turns his head and follows her movement.
Sarah.
Under your breath. Get it out.
Ed opens his belt. Sarah waits.
Do you want me to suck it?
I don't think that's the best way to make wild country bumps.
Do you want me to suck your cock?
Sarah kisses Ed again, then pulls away quickly. He smiles.
Sarah.
Ed remains blindfolded. He turns his head from side to side as he laughs nervously.
Sarah.
Ed removes the blindfold and looks around. Sarah is nowhere to be seen.
Sarah?
Ed spots Sarah's yellow cardigan hanging from the branch of a tree. He walks towards it, looking around as he goes. Ed takes the cardigan off the branch. Further ahead, Ed spots Sarah's bra hanging from a branch. He runs towards it and lifts it. He runs ahead into the bushes, smiling. On another branch, Sarah's dress hangs. Ed takes it off the branch. He looks up to see Sarah standing in a clearing wrapped in a tartan blanket. His shoulders are bare and her left thigh is exposed.
You're just gonna stand there perving. You're gonna get undressed.
Well, it depends. I mean, what is there to get undressed for?
Sarah turns around to expose her toned bare back. Ed rushes towards her. He undresses as he runs. Ed kisses Sarah. The blanket falls to the ground. The sun sinks in the sky. The rays shine through a gap in the branches and illuminate the couple's faces. Later, Sarah and Ed walk hand in hand through a field as the sun sets behind them. Sarah and Ed stop and look back at the sunset. They turn to look at each other, then kiss. Ed puts his arm around Sarah. Her yellow cardigan is draped across her shoulders. She walks barefoot on the grass. Ed carries her shoes. Dusk. Sarah and Ed enter the farmhouse. Inside, Ed wears headphones and holds a torch as he searches through a cardboard box. He removes a record and reads the label. Next, Ed pulls a red and white woolen scarf from the box. Text on the scarf reads, Arsenal. Ed chuckles and wraps the scarf around his neck as he holds the torch between his teeth. He removes the torch from his mouth and swings it around as he moves to the music coming through his headphones. A view from outside the window shows Ed dancing around inside, waving the torch. Ed leaves the room and walks upstairs. He enters the bedroom wearing the Arsenal scarf. Sarah sits in bed. She wears a floral bra top and reads a magazine.
Oh my God, you are taking that to the charity shop.
Fuck off.
Give it here.
No.
Give it here, please.
Ed removes the scarf and throws it to Sarah. She puts it around her neck. Ed takes off his shoes.
Wow, my perfect woman.
Ed jumps into bed and kisses Sarah.
I have to brush my teeth. Will you have a look? Page 4, curtains. Please.
Sarah hands the magazine to Ed and steps out of bed. Sarah removes the scarf and throws it on a pile of clothes. She enters the ensuite bathroom and looks in her makeup bag. Sarah returns to the bedroom. Ed lies in bed with his eyes closed.
Ed, hon. Where are the toothbrushes?
Ed stirs.
I don't know.
Did you bring them in from the car?
Sarah leans down close to Ed.
I didn't bring them in from the car.
Baby, but you can't get them for me because it's a bit dark.
Sarah looks at Ed. He doesn't respond.
Ed?
Sarah sighs and gets up. Sarah leaves the bedroom. She shines the torch down the stairs and slowly begins to descend the stairs. At the bottom of the stairs, Sarah opens a wooden door and proceeds to the back door. Sarah opens the back door and steps outside into the darkness. A light mist shrouds the farmyard. Sarah shines the torch around the farmyard. Sarah unlocks the car automatically using the car keys. She opens the car door and looks inside. She closes the door and goes to the back of the car and opens the truck. She searches through bags in the trunk. Sarah turns around abruptly. She shines the torch across the farmyard. Her body is stiff and tense. A barn door blows open. Sarah heaves a sigh of relief. She closes the trunk and heads back inside. As she approaches the house, Sarah turns around quickly. She shines the torch out into the yard, then hurries into the house.
Ed! Ed! I think there's someone outside hiding in the yard. I just heard something in the yard. It was making funny noises.
Sarah, we're in the country, all right? There's loads of things making funny noises. It was probably a...
No.
Fox or an owl.
No, this was something else.
Like what?
Like a crazy person making weird noises.
What kind of noises?
Just weird noises. I don't know.
It was probably a bear.
Are there bears in Scotland?
There are no bears in Scotland. Honey, please, just come back to bed.
I can't, not until you've been out there and had a look.
Oh, Sarah.
Please.
Ed reluctantly gets up.
Fine.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Ed puts on his pants.
Torch.
Sarah hands Ed the torch. They both go downstairs. Ed walks out into the yard and shines the torch around. Sarah follows closely.
Right, so where did you see this, this creature?
It's over there.
Sarah nods in the direction of the barn.
Yeah.
Ed walks towards the barn while Sarah remains behind.
One here?
No, it was behind that.
Or behind the tractor?
No, it was behind the shed.
Ed walks around behind the shed.
You be careful.
Ed looks around. He shines the light and set on an old plow in the yard. Ed walks back towards Sarah.
Nope.
I swear I saw something.
Well, there's nothing there now. Come on. Come on.
Ed heads back towards the house. Sarah turns slowly, then stops abruptly. A low figure moves behind a row of plastic containers at the entrance to the barn.
Ed!
The containers scatter and a black and white pig emerges from the darkness. Sarah runs towards Ed.
Oh my God. It's not funny.
Fuck.
Did you see that before and you didn't tell me?
No. No, of course I didn't. Why would I do that?
Well, where did it come from?
I don't know.
What?
What's that smell?
What?
Oh, babe.
What?
Have you shut yourself? Come on.
Probably.
Sarah pushes Ed inside. Next, an exterior view of the farmhouse in darkness. Ed and Sarah are asleep in bed. Ed's arm is wrapped around Sarah. Sarah opens her eyes suddenly. She lays still and listens.
Ed. Ed, there's someone in there.
Ed stirs. His eyes remain closed. Ed kisses Sarah on the cheek and tightens his grip around her.
Did you hear that?
Ed looks up, then sits up in bed and listens. Ed gets out of bed.
Where are you going?
He walks to the window and looks out. Ed shakes his head.
No.
Sarah's expression is grave. She listens. Ed moves towards the door and puts his ear to the wood. Ed jumps and quickly pulls on his pants.
Where are you going? Come have a look.
Sarah gets out of bed and puts on her jeans.
Hello?
Ed opens the bedroom door slowly. Sarah grabs the torch off the mantelpiece and switches it on.
Give me the torch.
Ed takes the torch and shines it out onto the landing.
There's somebody down there.
Well, then I'll tell them to get the fuck out of my house!
Ed and Sarah move cautiously out of the bedroom. They walk along the landing. When they reach the top of the stairs, Ed and Sarah pause. Ed shines the torch downstairs. He looks at Sarah. Ed shouts down the stairs.
We call the police.
Ed and Sarah wait.
Can you hear me?
They continue to look downstairs.
Sarah, go back to the bedroom. Look.
No. Sammy, just please.
Look.
Ed shines the torch on a cardboard box that sits on the landing and takes a hammer from the box. He moves back towards the top of the stairs. He and Sarah slowly make their way downstairs. Near the bottom of the stairs, they stop and look over the banister towards the back door.
The back door's open.
Shit.
Sarah and Ed continue down the stairs. Ed shines the torch into the empty rooms as they pass. Ed and Sarah walk cautiously towards the kitchen. Ed shines the light into the kitchen and scans his surroundings. Wooden chairs are stacked on top of the table and worktop. Ed kicks open the door to the cold store. He shines the flashlight inside and looks back at Sarah. Ed and Sarah walk outside through the open back door. They turn around quickly as the back door creaks and blows on its hinges.
Hold on.
Ed hands the torch to Sarah and inspects the door. He moves it back and forth and laughs.
Didn't you lock it?
You closed it.
Did I?
Yeah.
I must have forgotten.
What, so it just blew open?
Well, I guess it did. Oh, come on, look, I'll make sure it's locked now, okay?
But what if there is someone in there?
There's no one in here.
How do you know that?
Because I just looked.
You didn't check the front room.
Sarah.
Not properly.
Oh, come on.
All upstairs.
Do you really want me to do this?
Yeah, I do.
Sarah kisses Ed on the cheek.
Okay.
Ed nods his head.
Well, come on, then. Or do you want me to leave this open all night?
Sarah goes back inside and Ed closes the door behind them.
Where did you put the key?
I didn't put the key in.
Ed shines the light on the windowsill by the door, then onto the floor. The key is on the ground by their feet.
Okay. Now do you want to lock it?
Ed picks up the key and gives it to Sarah. She places it in the lock and turns it, then pushes down the handle to make sure the door is locked. Sarah twitches the curtain on the back door and looks outside.
Ed?
She walks to the kitchen and looks inside. The hammer sits on the table. Ed pops up from behind the table. He wears the old glasses from the windowsill. He walks towards Sarah with arms outstretched.
Oh, I smell the fear of an Englishwoman.
I don't like it. Will you please stop it? Will you stop it?
These are boobies.
Stop it.
Sarah pushes Ed backwards against the table.
All right, Jesus. Just have a bit of a laugh.
I'm sorry. It's not funny, okay?
Ed removes the glasses and storms out of the kitchen. In the bedroom, Ed takes off his pants. Sarah enters and closes the door. Ed jumps into bed. Sarah sits in bed and pulls the covers over her. She looks around in the darkness.
Maybe we should go find a B&B.
Okay. Okay, now you're just being silly.
Just for one night until we get the power sorted.
Sarah, it's past midnight. There's not going to be anywhere that's open. Okay? Come on.
Ed puts his arm around Sarah. She remains seated and leans against the headboard. She reaches out and lifts a gas lamp from the nightstand.
What the hell are you doing?
Someone in the house.
Why?
Oh, it's been empty for almost a year. Maybe it's been used.
By who?
Tramps. Or that kid. I mean, what was he doing here?
He was just some kid. All right, he's not going to turn up in the middle of the night, is he? He'll be at home sleeping in bed, which is exactly what we should be doing.
I can't. I'm in a strange house. I'm scared. This bloody thing get brighter?
Because it's probably run out of gas. And this strange house, this is our home now, all right? So you've just got to get used to it. I hate it when you're like this.
Well, it's not much fun for me either. Thanks for being so considerate.
Yes.
Ed lies back down in bed.
Asshole.
Sarah sets the lamp on the windowsill and returns to sit on the edge of the bed. After a pause, Sarah turns around and gets under the covers. Ed turns away from her and punches his pillow.
I saw some candles in the kitchen. Maybe we could get them. Put them in the windows.
Ed remains motionless with his eyes closed.
Ed, please.
You want candles, you go and get them.
I'm not going down there on my own.
You know, I'm not going, full stop.
I won't sleep.
Yeah, well, I will.
Sarah stares at Ed.
Ed, will you stop being such a selfish twat?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Ed jumps out of bed and pulls on his pants. Sarah gets out of bed, too.
No, you stay here.
Don't
want to be here on my own.
Sarah, just get back into the bed, all right? And stop being so stupid.
I'm not being stupid.
Yes, you are. You're being bloody stupid. This is our first night in this house, and this is how you're going on. Jesus Christ.
Downstairs, Ed enters the kitchen. He opens a drawer, shines the torch inside, and rustles through it. Ed moves to another drawer and finds two candles. Meanwhile, he discovers a roll of wire. Ed turns and looks at the fuse box. He smiles. Ed opens the fuse box. He shines the light inside and rewires the connection. Upstairs, Sarah sits on the toilet. The light comes on.
Oh, thank you, God.
Sarah stands up, zips up her pants and flushes the toilet. She washes her hands under the tap. Sarah turns off the tap and heads downstairs. The downstairs is in darkness.
Thanks for getting the power back on, babe.
Sarah looks out towards the back door and notices that it is ajar. She walks down the hallway towards the door. Sarah looks outside into the dark yard, then moves back inside the house and closes the door. She goes to lock the door. The key is not in the lock. Sarah looks down and finds the key lying on the floor. Sarah bends down and picks it up. She places it in the lock and locks the door.
Ed. Maybe this isn't funny anymore.
Sarah walks cautiously down the hall. Her breath is shallow. She enters the kitchen and sees the open drawer. Sarah turns and walks out into the hallway.
Ed, I know I've been a pain in the ass. Please don't do this to me.
Sarah pushes a door open and looks inside the room. The torch lies on the floor. It is still switched on. Sarah moves back out to the hallway.
Ed?
The key moves out of the lock in the back door and falls on the floor. The door handle is pushed down. Sarah runs and hides behind the table in the kitchen. Sarah peeks up from behind the table. A light moves around the kitchen. Sarah peeks up again and sees a figure move around. Sarah stands up. She grabs the car keys from the worktop and rushes to the back door. She puts her hand out to unlock the door and realizes the key is not in the lock. Sarah searches on the floor. She moves towards the bottom of the stairs. A figure with a torch passes on the landing upstairs and enters a bedroom. The silhouette of a horned figure appears behind the glass in the front door. Sarah goes into the reception room and closes the door behind her. She hurries to the window and attempts to open it. As Sarah pushes, a wooden board from the window frame comes off in her hand. Sarah manages to lower the glass window pane. She sticks her head out the window but is unable to fit her whole body through the gap. Sarah struggles to get out through the window. She gives up and brings her head back inside. She moves her foot backwards and knocks over a glass bottle on the floor. The glass shatters. Two dark figures rush downstairs. Sarah backs against a door. Sarah kneels down on the floor. Her hand lands on a shard of glass. She removes the glass from her palm. Blood streams from the wound. Sarah grimaces as she slides underneath the worktop. The door opens. 2 feet in heavy boots approach. Sarah peers out from the shadows. The dark figure bends down. He wears fingerless gloves and picks up the lighted torch off the floor.
Shit!
She's gone out a window!
The man runs out of the room and closes the door. Sarah slides out from under the worktop. Sarah holds her wounded hand against her stomach. Sarah struggles to her feet. She takes a cloth off a shelf and wraps it around her hand. Sarah looks out the window. Outside, men with torches patrol the yard. She tightens the bandage on her hand using her teeth. Sarah looks at the car in the yard. She runs out into the hallway. A figure can be seen through the glass in the back door. Sarah turns around. The silhouette of a horned figure moves towards her holding a torch. Sarah starts to run upstairs. A man in a rubber pig mask follows her. He grabs her leg and pulls her back downstairs. Sarah kicks the man. Sarah punches the man in the head, then kicks him back downstairs. Two other men in pig masks catch him. Sarah continues upstairs. Sarah throws the box of tools down the stairs. A man in the pig mask man trips and falls on the stairs. He gets up and is pushed by his two colleagues. The men rush up the stairs. Sarah runs into the bedroom and bolts the door closed. She squeezes between the wall and a chest of drawers. She starts to push the chest of drawers towards the door.
What have you done to it?
Sarah leans over the chest of drawers.
What have you done to my husband?
Sarah gasps. She looks at her hand, then rushes to the window and looks outside. Sarah leans her head against the glass and sobs. A masked figure holding an axe walks through the gate towards the house. Sarah returns to the door and resumes pushing the chest of drawers against it. A wooden panel on the bedroom door is smashed and a hand reaches inside and unbolts the door. Sarah runs into the ensuite bathroom and locks the door. The masked men push their way into the bedroom. Sarah uses a stool to secure the bathroom door. Sarah opens the bathroom window and pokes her head out. A trailer is parked below. Sarah climbs out the window. A man in a pig mask busts the bathroom door open and runs towards her. He catches Sarah by the hair and tries to pull her back inside. Sarah bashes his head against the wall and escapes through the window. Two more men in pig masks enter the bathroom. One catches Sarah. She punches him in the face. Sarah balances on top of the trailer and jumps onto a wall. She runs along the top of the wall and jumps down at the end. A man in a pig mask sticks his head out the window and shines the torch down on the yard. Sarah takes shelter behind a tree. The masked man gets out the bathroom window and follows Sarah's. Sarah crouches as she watches the man approach. Sarah moves farther into the shadows. The masked man searches the yard. Sarah gets up and runs away. She crouches in a barn doorway. Sarah checks her surroundings. A masked man with a torch walks through the yard. Sarah hides. The masked man approaches. Sarah enters the barn and pulls the door closed. She hides in a stall. The masked man enters the barn and searches for Sarah. He shines the torch around. The light passes over Sarah's head as she crouches in the stall. Sarah holds her breath. Through a small window in the barn, Sarah can see a masked man walk up a flight of steps. The second man in the pig mask leaves the barn. Sarah gets up and runs outside towards her car. When Sarah reaches the car, she notices that the driver's window is broken. She opens the door and gets inside. She turns the keys in the ignition. The car doesn't start. Sarah notices two cut wires under the dash.
Come on!
Sarah examines the red and blue wires, then bangs the steering wheel in frustration. Sarah jumps out of the car and runs behind a tree. A light is on inside the house. Sarah runs along the gable. A masked man emerges from the front door. Sarah stops suddenly at the corner, where the house connects to the stone wall. Sarah slides down against the wall and crawls along the ground behind the stone wall. The man looks around in the garden with a torch. Sarah reaches the corner and crawls along the stone wall at the front of the house. The garden gate is open. The gate moves. The masked man shines the torch around. The man re-enters the house as Sarah crawls past the open gate and continues to crawl along the wall. A second masked man appears at the door.
So much for the big man's plan.
Sarah runs away from the yard towards the woods. She clutches her wounded hand to her chest.
You go take a look in the woods. What about the big man? Let me worry about him.
One of the men in a pig mask emerges through the garden gate and shines the torch around. Sarah runs further into the dark woods. At a distance from the house, Sarah stops. She climbs down a small embankment, then bends down and sobs. Sarah falls backwards onto the ground and continues to sob. Sarah looks down at her bandaged hand. She removes the rag and inspects the wound. She drops the bandage on the ground. Sarah takes a white cloth from her jacket pocket and wraps it around her hand. Sarah pulls the knot tight with her teeth. Sarah freezes. Sarah looks behind her, then gets up and starts to run. A light approaches through the trees. A man in a pig mask stomps through the woods. The pigman shines the light through the woods. He looks at the ground, then bends down and picks up the rag that Sarah discarded. It starts to rain. The pigman jumps down the small embankment and continues in the direction taken by Sarah. Sarah watches the pigman from behind a bush. Sarah lifts her head and peeks over a ridge. The pigman approaches. Sarah quickly pulls her head back.
Alright.
The pigman walks off in the opposite direction. Sarah starts to run further into the woods. She pushes her way through closely spaced trees. In a foggy thicket, Sarah stops and leans against a tree. Sarah turns her head and spots a parked Land Rover with the headlights switched on. Sarah walks cautiously in the direction of the Land Rover. Sarah pauses, leans against a tree and watches. She then hurries down a slope towards the Land Rover. Sarah crouches past the headlights and moves around the side of the Land Rover. The passenger window is open. Sarah looks inside and sees the keys in the ignition. A man in a pig mask emerges from a barn. Sarah lies down on the ground. Feet in heavy boots approach. Sarah slides her body underneath the Land Rover. Sarah watches from under the Land Rover as the feet pass by. The man in the pig mask stands by the driver's side and swigs from a bottle. The man in the pig mask opens the door and starts the engine.
Stop.
Sarah begins to slide out from under the Land Rover, then moves back underneath. A set of keys fall to the ground. The masked man kneels down to pick them up. Sarah waits, open-mouthed. The man in the pig mask re-enters the barn. Sarah slides out from under the Land Rover. Sarah moves slowly towards the barn. She peers inside through a gap in the door. A lamp illuminates the interior of the barn. Ropes hang from the ceiling. A seated figure in a hood is tied to a wooden pole in the middle of the floor. Sarah lifts a wooden post from a pile and looks back inside. The man in the pig mask walks towards the seated man. He swigs a beer.
Bastards.
The masked man removes the hood to reveal Ed's face. His lips are taped. The black and white pig sniffs around Ed's legs as Ed writhes against the wooden pole.
Well, give it a fucking smack, Ed. You might want to kiss my baby.
Sarah sneaks towards the masked man and hits him over the back of the head with a wooden post. He falls to the floor. Sarah hits him again repeatedly, then slams the edge of the wooden post into his face. Blood pours from under the pig mask. The man in the pig mask lies motionless on the hay as Sarah gasps. She throws the wooden post from her and runs towards Ed. Sarah kneels in front of Ed and peels the tape off his mouth. He gasps for breath. Blood pours from a wound on his forehead. Sarah tries to untie Ed's hands.
They're too tight, Ed. You've got to stay still. Please, you'll cut your hands.
Hurry.
I'm trying to find something.
Hurry.
Sarah runs to a workbench and searches around. She finds a knife in a toolbox and runs back to Ed's side.
Okay. Stay still. Okay.
Sarah cuts the wire on Ed's wrist with the knife and releases Ed's hands. Ed replaces the bag over his head. A man in a pig mask enters the barn. He sees his friend laid out on the hay, covered in blood. Sarah emerges from behind the pole and slashes the pig mask with the knife. Blood pours from the man's face. Sarah slashes his hand. He wrestles the knife from her and tries to stab her. Ed removes the bag from his head and unties his feet. Ed appears behind the man in the pig mask and smashes him on the head with a wooden post.
Let's go.
Ed drags Sarah towards the door.
The keys, the Land Rover. He's got them.
Ed runs to one of the masked men and searches for the keys.
Shit, Ed, they're coming.
The second masked man stirs. He reaches out and grabs the knife off the floor.
Fuck, I can't find him!
He has them on him! Just try the shelf!
The second masked man crawls along the floor towards Sarah. He slashes her Achilles tendon. Sarah falls to the floor. Ed runs over and kicks the masked man repeatedly in the stomach. Ed helps Sarah to her feet. Blood pours from the wound on her leg and runs down over her pink sneakers. Sarah leans on Ed as they exit the barn and hide behind the Land Rover. Two more men in pig masks approach with torches. Sarah and Ed rush towards the woods. Ed helps Sarah to escape. Sarah and Ed crouch down behind a tree. An injured masked man leans out of the barn. The two masked men who just arrived run to his aid.
Let's go. Go.
Ed supports Sarah as she hobbles into the woods. The barn door opens and two men in pig masks emerge. Sarah and Ed continue to walk through the woods. Two flashlights can be seen moving between the trees. Sarah and Ed stop by a fallen tree. Sarah falls to the ground.
They're not far behind.
Leave me alone.
Just got to keep on going, Sarah, please. Listen to me.
Ed helps Sarah get up. Sarah slides down a slope beside the tree. Ed lies next to her.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to stay here. Undercover.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to run up on ahead, and I'm going to distract them.
No, please.
So listen to me. When you know it's safe, you run up that way, and you keep going until you hit the dirt road. You know, the one that we came in on. And at the end of that is the main road. I'll meet you there.
A shadowy figure emerges through the fog. Sarah slides under the fallen tree. Ed uses broken branches to conceal Sarah.
This way. We've got a chance.
Ed hurries off as the two men in pig masks approach the fallen tree.
What are we going to do with Kenny, man? You see his face? He smashed it in.
Shh. The men stop. Sarah looks up from under the tree.
You hear that? We need to make these bastards pee.
We need to catch them first. Now shut the fuck up.
Sarah watches as the men shines their flashlights around.
What? Over here!
The men in the pig masks run off in pursuit of Ed. Sarah pushes the branches off her and crawls out from under the fallen tree. Ed continues to run through the woods. The two men in pig masks run after him. Eventually, one of the masked men stops and struggles to catch his breath. The second masked man continues to run after Ed. Sarah drags her leg as she hobbles through the dark woods. She steadies herself against a tree. Ed stops to rest. He kneels down and gasps for air. Ed looks up and sees a bicycle through the fog. A masked man wielding an axe approaches. He shines his torch around. The masked man spots the bicycle.
Oh, looky, looky. I know you're out here. You think I'm stupid, eh? You bugger. You should be in your bed.
Ed runs at the masked man.
You'll be in trouble with your mammy.
Ed shoves the masked man from behind. He falls and hits his head on a stone. Ed runs away, then stops and turns around.
I
Ed returns to the masked man and uses his foot to turn him over on his back. The masked man lies motionless. Ed leans over him and starts to remove the mask. The masked man grabs Ed by the throat. Ed struggles to free himself. Ed manages to break free. He crawls away. The masked man gets up and grabs Ed's ankle.
Where do you think you're going, eh? You're going to crawl back across the border. Is that what you're going to do? You're not going anywhere.
Ed turns to face the masked man.
This is for Kenny, you English bastard.
Ed looks up in terror as the masked man lifts the axe over his head. A hand emerges from the darkness and grabs the axe.
What about my brother? What have I told you? Stick to the plan. The plan's fucked, man. No, it's not. We catch them, then get rid of them.
As the two men in pig masks argue, Ed runs off through the woods. The two masked men follow him. Ed stops dead and falls to the ground. His foot is caught in an animal trap. Ed writhes in pain on the ground. Blood pours from Ed's leg. Ed tries to open the trap. Ed frantically pulls at the trap as the masked men run towards him. Ed grabs a wooden stick and waves it around him. One of the masked men kneels down and wrestles the stick off Ed.
Easy, boy. No. Stand back!
The masked man places a bag over Ed's head.
No! No!
Elsewhere, Sarah continues to hobble through the woods. Her face is sad and covered in dirt. Tears fill her eyes. Sarah begins to move urgently through the woods. Sarah falls on the ground. Sarah holds her leg. She takes a stick off the ground as she sees a dark figure approach in a foggy haze. Sarah leans against a tree as the dark figure walks towards her. She breathes deeply. The young boy in the football jersey emerges from the shadows in front of Sarah. Sarah lowers the stick and breathes a sigh of relief. The boy removes his backpack and lays it on the ground. Sarah looks up as the young boy reaches slowly into his backpack. The young boy removes a bottle of water and hands it to Sarah. Sarah opens the bottle and chugs the water greedily. Sarah looks up at the young boy.
Couldn't you show me how to get to the road?
The young boy stares at Sarah as he puts on his backpack. Sarah stares pleadingly at him.
Please.
The young boy moves cautiously past Sarah. She watches him as he moves into the thicket. The young boy stops and looks back at Sarah. Sarah uses a tree for support as she pulls herself to her feet. She slowly follows the young boy through the trees. Sarah struggles to keep up with the young boy. Sarah stops.
Hey, how far is it now?
The young boy looks at Sarah, then turns and continues to walk. Sarah looks back. The young boy disappears into the fog. Sarah follows him. Sarah drags her body from tree to tree as she continues to move through the woods. Sarah drags her leg as she looks all around her in the dark. Sarah stops dead when she sees a black backpack and red and white scarf on the ground. Sarah picks up the scarf. The text reads, "Arsenal." Sarah's brow furrows. She throws the scarf on the ground and backs away. Later, dawn breaks. A flowing river stretches and winds through the woods. Sarah continues to stagger through the woods. At the top of a steep slope, Sarah rests against a tree. Loose bark breaks off the trunk and falls to the ground. Sarah continues until she reaches a verge. She peers over the verge and spots the stone bridge that crosses the river. Sarah hobbles slowly across the bridge. She struggles to maintain her balance as she drags her wounded leg behind her. Her pink sneakers are stained in blood and mud. Sarah looks ahead and sees an opening in the trees. car passes on the main road ahead. Sarah begins to hurry towards the main road. Headlights appear behind her. Sarah looks around and begins to run backwards towards the road. As Sarah turns back, two men in pig masks appear from the bushes in front of her.
Ed!
Men in pig masks approach from all sides. The Land Rover catches up with Sarah and stops.
Ed! Where the fuck is he? Where the fuck are you touching?
A masked man gets out of the Land Rover.
It's over.
More men in pig masks emerge from the woods. The driver of the Land Rover approaches Sarah. He pulls tape from a roll. Sarah falls to her knees. The masked men crowd around her and watch as the driver of the Land Rover tapes Sarah's mouth. Another masked man places a bag over her head and places her in the back of the Land Rover. The Land Rover drives away. Daylight. A view of the farm from across a field. The sky is gray and cloudy. Inside the house, cardboard boxes sit on the floor in the reception room. Light shines through the glass window panes on the front door. The framed photograph of a large family hangs on the wall. A man with a walking stick exits the house. He carries the framed photograph and shows it to two men holding bottles of beer. A crowd is gathered for a barbecue outside the farmhouse. The Scottish flag hangs above the front door. A group of children run out of the house. They are chased by a young boy in a pig mask and a navy football jersey. Elsewhere, a body lies hooded and bound on the grass. A man in a suit approaches and taps the body with his foot, then leans down and removes the head cover. Sarah wriggles on the ground. The man in the suit comforts her.
You're okay, you're okay.
The man in the suit unties Sarah's hands. Sarah removes the tape from her mouth and looks around in bewilderment. A tram passes on a busy street. Sarah crawls along on the grass. Ed lies bound and gagged nearby. Sarah rushes to his aid and unties him. Blood pours from the large wound on his forehead. Ed grabs Sarah and hugs her tightly as they kneel on the grass. Ed looks around. A tram pulls up at a stop. The LED display on the front of the tram reads, Altrincham. Ed holds Sarah tightly. Sarah and Ed remain wrapped in each other's arms. The man in the suit stands nearby on his cell phone. Next, a view from above from a busy city square. Trams continue to pass by as crowds mill in all directions. Fade to black. Credits roll on screen.